Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Save big money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. Hope you're all doing really well. And this is your latest Manchester United news as Manchester United's mystery loan deal could be off. With Mainoo staying, we'll also talk about the reaction to yesterday and a few other bits that are coming out this morning. But lots to get into, and I've just actually been interacting with Ben Jacobs about this because you know we can give you the latest on what might be happening in the next 2 weeks around this January mystery transfer deal. Fabrizio Romano with his update as well, and as I said, we've got quite a bit to get into. But look, I was at Seb's match this morning. A lot of the dads aren't Man United fans, and a lot of them were saying, you know, that was entertaining yesterday, wasn't it? And I think that's always the best feedback from people that don't support Manchester United. So waking up this morning, I think we have to accept that there was, not only was it a good result yesterday, but I think we earned a lot of credit in the general football world, which I think is also a very, very big positive as well. Not quite a big positive with Seb's team in the cup. They lost 3-1. Look, you know, life's about picking yourself up from defeats. As United fans, we know that. But let me just say this. They were playing on a 4G pitch. The goalkeeper's penalty box was marked out by cones. We're 2-1 down with 5 minutes to go. We're peppering their goal. They hit a long ball. The ball is going to go out of play. It hits one of the cones, slows up, and their striker puts it in. I mean, man of the match to the fucking cone, as I said, on the sideline. Some people got it. Some people thought, what a moaner. But yeah. Anyway, but Man United won yesterday. That's what it's all about. Tom McBride said, was that Elaine yesterday or Elaine the pain? Okay, it wasn't very good, was it? But look, let's get into it because a lot of people are going to want to know the news. So basically, this started off because Fabrizio Romano said there'll be no loan deal in January. And he was talking about Mainoo. Mainoo won't be leaving, which we'll talk about in a moment. So I got in contact with Ben Jacobs. Obviously, on Friday, he put it out there that Man United were in talks for a mystery midfielder. He knows who it is. I still don't know who it is. But, you know, obviously we have Ben Jacobs on the show quite regularly. And I said to him, is this Mainoo thing anything to do with that? And he said, no, look, the Mainoo thing is Mainoo's not going to leave on loan in January. With regard to the mystery loan deal, it might be with the renaissance of Mainoo, Man United decide that Bruno can play in the midfield. You've got Casemiro, Mainoo, Ugarte. They don't need to spend anything on another player in January. However, they might look at it and see it as an opportunity to move Ugarte on if Carrick doesn't like him. So, you know, it could still happen in the next 14 days. But obviously, it'd be wrong not to say that Mainoo's renaissance under Carrick solves a problem that wasn't being solved before. So, look, I'm sure we'll find out who this person is at some point. I'm as intrigued as you are. But in some ways, we might be better off not knowing, comparable to who it could be. And they may well not be the saviour that some people think they're going to be. I mean, God, when the name comes out, I think it will cause a meltdown. But we need, look, let's be real. I spoke about this last night. Fantastic performance from Manchester United yesterday. And whatever the connotations of that are, maybe we go to Arsenal and we build on it. Maybe we lose to Arsenal, we lose to Fulham and we're back where we are. Maybe Michael Carrick gets the job full time and we're back here in 2 years saying, why did we do that? Why? Maybe Michael Carrick gets the job full time and becomes the next Sir Alex. Or maybe he doesn't get the job and we bring Ancelotti in. There are so many ifs, buts and maybes coming up. But I think one of the consistencies is that we do need to be bringing players in. And I would much rather be in Man City's position today than ours. Well, why wouldn't I? You know, we're winning. If I'm a Man City fan, you're winning leagues. You're ambitious. You've just bought one of the best centre-backs in Europe. You've bought one of the best wingers in Europe. You've got the best striker in the world. And they're in a title race. So, look, that's the truth. The result yesterday is great. We've all got a smile on our face. but the club's problems are still massive. And maybe it does paper the cracks for some people, but I don't think it does. We can praise Carrick, we can praise the players, and we can be happy. But the bottom line is, we shouldn't be guessing who a mystery loan deal is in the January transfer window. We should be chucking some money at a midfielder or a left winger to build now. Because one thing Man City have done in the last two January windows is buy players for the now to prepare for the future. So, look, Maynou we'll talk about, but Maynou coming into the first team can't be a reason not to strengthen that midfield. One of you said it last night. We're one injury away in the midfield from, you know, a major problem in there. And I'm still not convinced because we parked the bus against Man City and countered. Actually, I want to rephrase that. Because we played clever against Man City yesterday and, you know, basically sucked them into our half and then pounced on the break and it was very effective. You can't do that every week. We're going to have to be more expansive. And then how much space will be in our midfield? Have we got the right players for it? So we definitely should be bringing somebody in this market. But look, as Ben Jacobs said himself on Friday, Man United are in talks in the last 24 hours for a mystery midfielder. Let's see if it happens. It doesn't mean it happens. And as he said to me on Friday, there's an interesting story to be told about this in the future, but for now, he can't tell it. So we'll wait and see. There's no guarantee we're going to do it. Is it Glazernomics to go, we've beaten Man City, Maynou played really well, put the checkbook away, Jason, we're not even going to do a loan deal. And I think that pressure needs to be there. Of course it does. I mean, look, I don't know who the loan deal is, but if the loan deal is a festering fresh turd out of a bloody donkey's arse, it's still better than nothing, isn't it? So look, we'll have to wait and see. Do I think we'll do the loan deal? I don't know, because I don't know who it is, but even whoever it is, I'm sort of like going, well, do it, because it's like, look, the way for me is maybe it's not very entertaining. Maybe it's not very inspiring, right? But, you know, if you're going on holiday and you've got a missus, and I probably shouldn't tell this one, you're going on holiday, you've got a missus, you're going on holiday with the mates, and you say, I'm absolutely not going to do anything on holiday like that. You know, I'm happily in a relationship. We're thinking about getting married. We get on really, really well. Forget it. I'm not buying any Johnnies from Boots because there's just no way I'm going to do anything. And then 3 days into the holiday, you know, you're out there bird watching. I mean, like with binoculars, you know, you're not in a club. It's not like that. It's not like a few drinks and you've seen someone. You're out there doing something that's, you know, deep and meaningful, you know, maybe on a nice mountain walk. And you see, you know, you trip and twist your ankle. And then this beautiful woman comes along and she's a doctor and she helps you with your ankle. And she says, do you want to go and have a glass of wine? And you have a little bit of a chat and you get on really, really well. And then she says, you know what? If you want to be with me, let's go in the bedroom on day three. Day one might put you off. And then you go, I haven't got any Johnny's. You're not prepared. A better one would have been not having a spare wheel in your boot when you break down. What I'm trying to say is, no matter how good this midfielder is, it's better to have what we need than to go, we don't need it. Because Maynou, Casemiro, Ugarte is three people for two positions. And if one of them gets injured, you haven't really got a sub. Whereas if you've got this loan deal, and let's pretend it is, I don't know, Zakaria or Loftus-Cheek, at least you can use them. I'm not saying they're going to start, but, you know, you hit the middle of March and Maynou's out for 2 months. Loftus-Cheek might be quite useful now. Now, I don't want Loftus-Cheek, and we can rip the piss out of the football club for going for players like that. But who do you care about more? Man United being in Europe or the Glazers? You know, Man United winning games or Sir Jim Radcliffe? And that's what I'm saying. I don't know who this loan deal is, but if United are debating not doing it, they're bloody idiots. Because at some point, you might need something that's better than nothing, you know? So let's wait and see what it is. It's not great. It's not great. But it's not as true. Michael, that's not how I met my wife. There's a bit of poetic like it's not dissimilar. I mean, there was nothing like that in the first 3 days, trust me. But yeah, I wasn't looking for love, but it found me. I'm sure there's a song like that, isn't there? You never know when you're going to get, you know, shot by that Cupid arrow. You know, you think you're in a happy relationship and then you're not, you know. But look, we'll have to wait and see. But look, this has all been sparked by what Fabrizio Romano has said in relation to, what's his name, Mainoo. So look, if you're just tuning in, the mystery loan deal, which may or may not happen, could be off if United decide the renaissance of Mainoo is sufficient to get them through to the end of the season with Mainoo, Ugarte and Casemiro and Bruno, who can play those midfield positions. I think that's a mistake. I think most of you think it's a mistake. But as Ben Jacobs said to me, you know, maybe they'll move their attention to Ugarte now because there's been talk about Ugarte going to Turkey. So, I mean, look, let's see. United will not kill the... You can take this to the bank. Man United will not kill this transfer window dead with 2 weeks of it left. They won't do it because it's this. It's clicks, it's social media, it's deflection. You know, Carrick's given them a bit of paper over the cracks. If they talk about transfers, that papers the cracks a little bit more. They like the interaction. So even if they're not going to do anything, they'll still put it out there that they might, just to keep you excited. And I still believe that they have to do something. In relation to Mainoo, this is what Fabrizio Romano has said. Michael Carrick really, really trusts Mainoo, so forget about any loan deals happening this January. The board were not convinced to sanction a green light on Mainoo's departure, and even in December, Mainoo will be an important player for the club's future. Well, it's a huge turnaround for Mainoo. And I think we've put it in the title about his contract situation. He's out of contract in the next 12 months. Now, there is an option for another year, which I'm sure Man United would hit, and he is on very, very low wages. But the opportunity that is there for Mainoo now is really, really important. And obviously, he's outlasted Amorim, and that puts him in an even stronger position to start playing for Man United week in, week out. I think this is an open goal for anybody that comes in. If I was the manager of Man United, then I'd be playing three in the midfield and I would be using Mainoo in there as well. And I thought he played well yesterday. So he's got a great opportunity. And sometimes patience pays off for people, doesn't it? So look, I was certainly one of those people that wanted to see Mainoo playing more games of football. And it's incredible to me that, you know, it's only now that we might start to see a run of games for him. I wasn't that bothered about people saying it was just average yesterday or people saying it was world class. To me, it doesn't really matter because he's, you know, he needs a run of games. Every player needs a run of games, and he is still very young himself. So Mainoo playing for the next few games week in, week out is really important. Obviously, we need him to stay fit. I mean, I couldn't actually give a shit about England, I've got to be honest. If he gets in the England squad, it's good for him. But from a Man United point of view, I'd actually think finish the season well, have a good pre-season and come back strong next season as well. But look, if he gets in the England squad, you know, I saw John Terry saying take Harry Maguire to the England squad. I'm sure Luke Shaw's desperate to go. I mean, I don't think Thomas Tuchel would be well advised to take Luke Shaw, Harry Maguire and Mainoo to the World Cup. We do want to try and win it, but maybe one or two of them will make it. And that's up to them. You know, that, you know, if they play well for us, then they might go for England. But I think the main thing with Mainoo is to just keep him playing in the team. And look, I think Man United would have sold him. I think if a decent offer had come in and they kept Amorim, let's not... There's people out there that, in my opinion, are morons in the sense that I've seen some of it last night where they're trying to blame it all on Amorim and, you know, play Carrick against Amorim. But there's a dictator behind all this, and it's Ineos and it's Wilcox and Berarda, and they're the real issues at Man United. But people blame Amorim for Rashford when the board wanted Rashford out. And people might blame Amorim for Mainoo, but the board would have sold him. So, because it's money. Hopefully now, we'll sort the contract situation out. He'll play week in, week out, and we'll start to build out somebody that we actually should be using. And it's funny, isn't it? Because, you know, we get... People struggle with different people's opinions. And I think that, you know, I call it the TikTok generation. Because we're all part of it. You go from absolute depression and I'm fed up to absolute over-the-top toxic, you know, positivity at times. For example, like, I couldn't believe yesterday, well, I can believe, the amount of people talking about what Nicky Butt and Paul Scholes said about Martinez. And the whole time I was thinking, are we not going to talk about what they said about Mainoo then? So they're the problem because they've criticised Martinez, but they've also been consistently saying pick Cobbie for weeks and months and saying it's ridiculous that he's not playing. It's what Man United should all be about. So I doubt very much, if you've got it in for Button Skulls for what they said about Martinez, I very much doubt you're a Martinez-loving Mainoo think he's shit fan. So you're a hypocrite, because they've been talking about Mainoo and how he should be playing in that midfield for months. But because they've said something about Martinez, you don't like them. But that's life. It's opinion. You don't like one of their opinions doesn't mean you're going to really struggle. You're going to really struggle in life if you write somebody off because they have an opinion you don't like, because you're going to find very quickly that they have opinions you do like. And a lot of us were saying that Mainoo needs a run of games. And I think that's what I want to see over the next few weeks is, you know, Mainoo getting stronger and stronger. And I think he will be motivated by the opportunity anyway, but I think he will be motivated by maybe pushing himself into the England setup, which is massively beneficial for us. But I don't see him leaving Man United now, and I think we should start negotiations on the contract. I'm pretty sure Mainoo's going to want to stay at Man United. Michael Carrick's going to be very, very encouraging of him as a midfielder. There's a lot he can learn from him as well. And I think, you know, when I look at the performance yesterday, there was a lot of Michael Carrick to it. Some of you might be too young to remember what Michael Carrick was as a player, but some of the passing we were doing yesterday reminded me of United with Carrick, you know, moving it quickly through a press, one-touch passing at times, quick three or four pass movements to get into space. Obviously, it's easier to do that against a team that presses and plays a high line with a bad defence, but there will be opportunities against teams that play a low block to play like that as well. And I think that's going to be the evolution that's going to be really interesting. So, look, I think it's an exciting time for Mainoo, and hopefully that's going to be an exciting time for Manchester United. I certainly don't think there's many of us that were thinking that we do need to get rid of Mainoo. But as I said at the start, I still do think that whoever this mystery midfield loan player is, and I'll be at the front of the queue to criticise Wilcox and Berarda and Sir Jim for pitifully using a January transfer window to bring in a loan deal. But let me be very clear. I said this last January as well. Some of you didn't want Tell from Bayern Munich. And I said, he might not be ideal, but I'd take it over nothing. And a load of people went, wow, he's not done very well at Spurs. And I was like, hold on a minute. There is definitely a case to say that somebody is better than nothing. If they come on for half an hour and do okay, somebody gets a rest. How many injuries did we have in the latter half of last season because we didn't have any attackers? Ahmad got injured straight away. We got rid of Rashford and Anthony. I do genuinely believe that sometimes just somebody who sits on the bench gives you 20 minutes to take somebody off and give them a rest so they don't get injured. So I do think that whoever it is, it's got to be better than nothing. We can still laugh at it. We can still ridicule it. I mean, we should be spending money on somebody decent, but I still think it's better than nothing, you know? Keel Robinson says, now the first team and the academy are playing similar football. Is there any promising kids in the centre midfield role that may step up, says Keel? Look, I do think that obviously Lacey can be involved now. And I do think that he will get some game time because he can play off the right. In relation to the midfield, we've already got two players that are obviously going to get used. Fletcher was on the bench again yesterday. Do I think anybody else is going to break through? I don't really think Michael Carrick can use this next 5 months as a conveyor belt to play young players. He needs the results to have any chance of getting the job. And secondary to that, getting a job beyond this. I think if you're Michael Carrick this morning and you took it into your roast beef and your Yorkshire puddings, you're probably going, I'll have more gravy. But you're also going, you know what? I want to win every game. Not just because I'd like the Man United job, but the more games I win, there's a Crystal Palace job available in the summer. You know, there might be a Fulham job available in the summer. There might be an Everton. You know, you just don't know what jobs there's going to be. And if Michael Carrick has a good 5 months for Man United, but it's not good enough to get the Man United job, there might be a job for him elsewhere. So Carrick needs to win games. If he picks loads and loads of young players and United don't get Europe, does that get him a job at Crystal Palace? Probably not. So I think there will be some usage of younger players, and I think Lacey and Fletcher will be used, but I don't think he's going to start using it as a conveyor belt to everybody else. But good question. Emily Derry's in the chat. She normally has a good one. She says, Carrick was so underrated when he was playing. He's one of the most intelligent passers of the ball. Never really been replaced. Stiller is probably the closest to our summer targets. Look, if Favell has got anything about him, he'll be all over Stiller. I love Stiller. I mean, Stuttgart are the Aston Villa of the Bundesliga this year. And he has been absolutely sensational for them. He's a leader. He's a natural Bruno replacement. You probably don't bring him in if Bruno stays. But I don't know that we can let Bruno go in the summer now. If he's going to play as a number 10, I just love Bruno Fernandes as a number 10. And I hated him as a midfielder and I'd have sold him. But as a number 10, I just think he's just too important. Prince Rodrigo says, I love how Roy Keane talked yesterday at Sky Sports. I'll come back to that. Manchester is and always will be red, says Tarek. Don't ever sing again, Dad. You're embarrassing, says Seb Goldbridge. Don't see why a bit part player would want to come anyway, says Rob McCormack. Bruno G may extend at Newcastle. Why not turn his head, says Red Devil Girl. I'd love Bruno Guimaraes. Hi, Mark. I was top 0.7% for United stand on my Wrapped and I'm travelling 37 hours from Australia to Manchester in March for the United Villa game. Can I be on the United stand for absolutely anything that week? I'm sure we can sort something out. BZ Dead, we'll meet you down there and do a little clip or something like that. Sounds great, especially if you look, you've got to watch United stand as much as you can if you want to be in the top 1% at the end of the year. So well done, BZD. I know there's a lot of people saying they're going to be in the top 1%, so there's a lot of competition, but well done to you last year. Does yesterday prove simplicity is the key to progress rather than the convoluted styles and formations these European managers employ? Like it or not, I think most players just respond to basics, says Columbo. I think this is a great point. I want to come back to this. Can't stop watching the game. And the rondo on Cherki, says Carlo. Yeah, we basted the Cherki yesterday again, didn't we? I mean, I think he's going to be, very, very soon, although he lives in Manchester, I think he's going to have to avoid within a mile radius of Old Trafford because he gets absolutely roasted, doesn't he, every time he goes anywhere near it. Tarek, welcome to the Members Club. We are English Celtic. Only way to change this is to sack the board. Protest like Celtics fans. Carrick is our Martin O'Neill, a.k.a. the board stooge and shields, is Perth Luxury. Hi, Mark from Australia. I woke up at 1 a.m. for the game. 100% worth it, says Tarek. And Wynn and the board think they've got away with it, says Andy Hale. Thank you very much. OK, a couple of things I wanted to go back to. One person was talking about Roy Keane. Columbo, with a really good point, says, do a piece on Steve Holland, Mark. Mate, I don't rate Steve Holland. I don't care. I'm allowed an opinion. I don't rate him. He's been Southgate's sidekick for 10 years. People are delving back, talking about what he did with Ancelotti, what he did with Conte and all this. I don't rate him after one game, right? I rate Carrick. I don't rate Steve Holland, right? Columbo is absolutely spot on. Simplicity is the key to progress at Man United. Like it or not, most players at Man United are basic. They are. They're low IQ players. We've seen it. They can't play a 3-4-3. They can't break a low block. They're really basic players. If you tell them to sit deep, stay compact, be aggressive, and counter quickly with pace, is that the same as the way someone like Enrique plays with PSG or Pep plays with Man City? Absolutely not. Could they play like that? No. So you're right. It was good yesterday and it was good under Ollie and it was good under Ten Hag at times and it was good under Mourinho, although a lot of these players wouldn't have played there. But if you go back to the Ollie years, they're just very basic players. Play a back four, compact, counter with pace. And that's Maguire's bread and butter. In a way, it's Martinez's bread and butter, although he can play in a more progressive team. It's certainly Luke Shaw's bread and butter at this day. Dalot needs simple instructions. That's the back four sorted. Casemiro hasn't got the legs. Nice, easy, compact team helps him. Mainu's just started to get going again. Bruno loves having space to probe in. And then three quick players going forward. So it is very simplistic. It's certainly the instructions yesterday would have been a lot easier than what Amrum's been trying to get in for the last 12 months. So I think this is a fantastic point from Columbo, and it's not a negative point from him. You know, I don't want people saying, oh, you know, simplicity, just enjoy the win and, you know, players are basic. It's a positive. We beat Man City yesterday because we played to the players' strengths, and the players' strengths is a low block, compact and hit with pace.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And Carrick deserves credit because he played to the strength. And he'd be very used to it because he did it with Ollie as well. The question will be, what's the longevity with that? And is that what we want as a football club? Because we won't play teams that come to Old Trafford and attack us like Man City every week. But it worked really, really well yesterday. So as for your piece on Steve Holland, I need to see a little bit more because I saw the team yesterday and I said we'd play exactly like we did. And what's really interesting to me is, and somebody picked it up in the comments last night, when I was doing the match reaction yesterday and I was going through the player ratings, I spoke about how it really suited Martinez as well because it's so compact, it allows him to go and be aggressive. And he said it himself in the bloody, in the interview after the game, and I hadn't heard that. So it just shows you that it was quite simplistic the way we approached yesterday, but it was very effective and it suits our players who I think are quite basic. I don't think they're intelligent enough to play Pep ball or Enrique ball. So it would be very interesting to see how Carrick evolves this team and Steve Holland and Jonathan Woodgate when we play the low block. I think that's the one we're waiting for because we can basically blueprint what we did yesterday against Arsenal because they're going to have a lot of the ball. They're at home. They're going to play high up the pitch and we're going to basically do the same. And I wouldn't change the team for Arsenal. I mean, I know it's not preview time, but I wouldn't. But look, I don't know how people feel this morning, but I actually feel happier this morning than I did yesterday. And I felt very happy yesterday. I think the elation of yesterday and the excitement of yesterday is always going to happen after the game. But once you've had a sleep and you've got time to reflect, sometimes that can dilute and you can get a bit realistic. I mean, a lot of what Roy Keane said yesterday was very interesting about, you know, Carrick got sacked by Middlesbrough. Johnny Evans isn't even a coach. You know, there's a long way to go. Calm down. You know, there's a lot of problems at the club. I think all those things can be true. But also, is it not right to say, well, I want Wilcox sacked. I want Sir Jim out. I want the Glazers gone. I passionately want all those things. We are a broken club and we won't get any better with them in charge. There is no way back. Like, we will still be able to beat Man City, maybe Arsenal, maybe Liverpool this season under Carrick. But there is no way back because you can't just win battles, you've got to win wars. And we're not equipped to win wars because we haven't got the armory to do it and the ammunition to do it. And we haven't got the investment to do it. So we're not going to be back. If anybody's like waking up this morning thinking, yeah, you know, I really believe we can be back. You can't say on one hand, there's no manager in the world that could turn this ship around and then go interim Carrick's going to do it. He's not a bloody miracle worker. So we won't be back in any way, shape or form to the levels we want to be under this ownership. However, I'm quite relaxed. I don't think Michael Carrick should be given the job in the summer, regardless. But if they give him the job, I actually won't sit there and go, Carrick out, he's fucking useless. I like Carrick. But if they give him the job, I'm pretty sure I'll be sat here in a year or two going, I told you so. But if they want to do it, I ain't going to get stressed about it. Because why should I? I'm not involved in the conversation and they'll just be reinforcing what many of us think. They're incompetent and they're cheap and they'll fall for the, you know, Ollie's at the wheel. He's won 8 out of 12. Let's give him the job. And if they want to do that and we're in Europe, all I want to be is in Europe. If it all comes crashing down next season again, well, I think that's going to happen regardless because whoever the manager's going to be is going to get needs to be backed in the summer. So if it's Carrick next season or it's Ancelotti next season, unless they're going to give them the amount of money that they need, I can't be a hypocrite. I don't really care. I actually don't care if they give it. I don't think they should give it to Carrick. I'm very firm on that. But I don't care if they do because I think it will come crashing down anyway. You know, you can't be a hypocrite and say, I don't think there's a manager in world football that's going to turn this ship around and go, well, they've given it to Carrick over Ancelotti. I'm fuming. I'd be like, well, I don't think Ancelotti's turning it around either. I don't think Southgate's turning it around. I don't think Conte's turning it around. So if you give it to Carrick, I don't think he's turning it around either. I don't think it really matters. If you're going to spend $500 million in the summer, for the love of God, bring Ancelotti in. But if you're going to spend $500 million on Carrick, I think that's, you know, that's up to them. So, you know, I enjoyed the game yesterday. I'm quite relaxed about the team and the manager situation. I want European football. As I said last night, I think we can get it. I'm not going to stress about the club giving him the job or not giving him the job because they're idiots. And you know, you can't argue with idiots. So let them do what they're going to do. The bigger thing is, is there any incentive? If there is there anybody out there? What we, you know, regardless of protests, I think everybody wants change at Man United. It's not breaking news, but there's got to be an alternative. And at the moment, I don't think there's an alternative. So what we need really is the story from October to be true, or another story to be true, that there's actually somebody out there going, I want Man United. Because the protests and everything like that are fantastic, but they won't do anything if there's nobody else as well. So look, at the moment, we've got very, very, very little to be optimistic about in the long term. Michael Carrick gave us something in the short term yesterday. And I'm very relaxed. I don't, as I said last night, I think nobody should be saying give Carrick the job until April. And in April, we'll have a lot better understanding of the situation. I mean, let's have a quick look. But he'd be massively helped by some activity in January. But I think that's the problem as well, isn't it? You know, I was talking to a journalist today and they were like, we were talking about this January transfer and we were also talking about the summer transfer window. And then we got onto Carrick and the result yesterday. And basically, the conversation was being told that you do realise that United, when they were interviewing Solskjaer and Carrick, they're basically playing them off each other as well, because they're going, well, he wants this. Do you want this? And although it's pure speculation, it was like, if one of them was going, I want the job, but you need to buy me a midfielder in January, and the other one's going, I don't need anything, where do you think Man United go? And that's no detriment to who, whatever Carrick said or whatever Solskjaer said, but obviously it's like negotiating your house deal, isn't it? You're probably going to go with the one who's going to give you the most money. And for Man United, they might have an interim at the moment who was so determined to get the job, may have just signed up for stuff that you or I wouldn't have signed up for in a position of strength. For example, in the summer, if they want Ancelotti, he's probably going to go, I'll take the job, or Tuchel, I'll take the job if you give me this. You're in a position of strength. But as an interim, when you're competing, you might have to go, I'll take the job for this wage, which is lower, and I don't need any signings in January. I don't know whether Carrick's even made a play for that. But this is our next few games. So we've got Arsenal away, Fulham at home, Spurs at home, West Ham away, Everton away, Palace at home. That's six, and that takes us to the end of February. Then you've got Newcastle away, Villa at home, and Bournemouth away. That's nine games plus City. So I think by the next international break, you've got 10 Premier League games. Perfect time to sit down and go, where are we? 10 games. That's when I'll start looking at the Carrick situation. 10 games. And it's all about, there's enough low blocks there as well, isn't there? When you think about it, there is enough low blocks there. You've got Bournemouth will play quite expansive at their place, but you've got Villa who will come with a high line. Newcastle at St. James's Park will be difficult. You've got Palace at home, low block. You've got Everton away, low block. You've got West Ham away, low block. You've got Tottenham, God knows. You've got Fulham, probably a low block, if I'm being honest. So look, there's some good games in there. And if he can win seven or eight out of those 10, he's going to put himself in a really good position. Yeah. And that's when I'll assess it, definitely. Sophie, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you very much. I just want to say, 12,000 people watching on a Sunday lunchtime. You're absolute bloody legends. Thanks for tuning in today. We have got the 8 o'clock show tonight as well. I'm just about to go and do a video on That's Football, actually, about the 115, which is interesting, but that's for that. Playing basic will only get us so far. It might steady the ship and raise the floor in the interim, but won't raise the roof. The club needs a plan. But look, again, look, Columbus said it, and I think it's really important that people understand when we say play basic and to the players' strengths, that's what an interim should do. Like, that's literally what an interim should do. If I was Michael Carrick and I was coming into Man United, or you were Michael Carrick and you were coming into Man United, Would you come in and go, let's play Goldbridge ball, right? I want to play a 4-3-3, but I want every pass to go forward. I want us to play a high line. I want us to use the width. I want the fullbacks going back and forward. You know, I want to get crosses in the box. You know, I want to entertain. Would I do that for the next 4 or 5 months? No, not in a fucking million years am I going to play a high line. No way. No way. I've got 5 months on trial. I am not going to ruin it on principle. I'm going to go, hold on a minute. Let's have a look at the first thing I'm going to do, and where I take my hat off to Michael Carrick, is that I think every Manchester United manager that's come into this club has gone, there's the past. I'm in charge now. I have a huge ego. We're going to do it my way. I don't care whether you were shit in the past or good in the past. You were good in the past. You dropped. You were shit in the past. I like you. It's my way. Blah, blah, blah. I'm not listening to anything behind me. I think Michael Carrick has spent the last few days going, what happened under Amorim? What happened under Ten Hag? What happened when I was here with Ollie? Who's in the dressing room? What are they good at? Who have we got coming up? Right. Man City. Weak at the back. If they sit deep, we'll use Sesko and we'll pepper there in. We'll get crosses in and we'll take advantage of their weak centre-backs. If they play high, we'll use pace on the break and we'll sit deep. That's intelligent. And the blueprint was there from Ollie, you know, when Carrick was there. So I respect what Michael Carrick's done, because he's basically come in and gone, that the way we played yesterday wasn't the way he played like with Middlesbrough either. You know, it wasn't very similar to how he played with Middlesbrough really. But what he did is it was similar how he played with Ollie. You play that back four, deep line, compact, midfielders close, pace on the break, play to people's strengths. I mean, who in the team yesterday was out of position or not playing in a system they don't like? Bruno was a number 10 looking for the through ball. Mbeumo, Dorgu and Ahmad running into space. Luke Shaw as a left back, but stay back and help his defenders. Martinez next to Maguire on the edge of the box, not worried about pace over the top. Dalot with plenty of support around him. Casemiro with plenty of support around him. Mainoo just sitting in, doing the job, probing. Everybody in the team yesterday did a job they're used to doing, and we won the game. And I think that's exactly what you should do as an interim. And it pisses me off the amount of managers that come into this club. Ten Hag, Amorim to a certain extent, Jose did it. It pisses me off the players that come in this club and ignore all the problems from the past as if they're not relevant because I'm here now and everyone gets a new chance. I think you've got to walk into the club and go, yeah, you've been shit for the last 2 years. You know, you don't work in that situation. And I think that's intelligent. So look, playing basic football or playing to the player's strength when you're an interim is a very intelligent thing to do. Building your world, you do that when you've got a 2 or 3 year contract. You don't do it when you've got a 4 or 5 month interim job. You've got to work with what you've got and get the best out of what you've got, which in a way is quite scary if you give them the job, because what they do in the 4 or 5 months is not going to be what they do in the next 2-3 years, because what you do in your 4 or 5 months is basically try and get results in the simplistic way. But if you get the job, you then maybe try and do new things. And that's why so many interims fail, because, and it's not just a Man United thing, so many interims fail because they come in and they do things to get results that the players like, because they play to the player's strength. And then when they get the job, what they did to get results isn't really sustainable. So they start doing things for the long term and the players go, and it doesn't work a lot of the time. So it's that balancing act. But I think that for us as fans, we need to see more of yesterday, because I want European football. That's what I want. And there's nothing wrong with being pragmatic, says Jimmy. No, I think the job of an interim is to steady the ship, get results. I think it is. I think if you're Mikel Arteta, you know, it's a 5-year project and they've not won the Premier League, but they're building towards the Premier League, aren't they? They're building something gradually. We're not building something over the next 5 months. We're trying to achieve something, which is European football. Midri says, afternoon, Mark. I totally agree. We need a midfielder. Something is better than nothing. Exactly. Any news on Neves? Well, the mystery midfielder is not Neves, because it's not a Saudi-based player. What's your opinion if the dressing room stops using toilet papers and uses a jet spray? Because toilet paper leaves dingleberries and it's not good for hygiene, says Manchester's Blue. Okay. Mark, your ball knowledge is fire. I'll be winning dollars on your knowledge, low-key. Respect, says Black Wolf. Okay. I think he's talking about my predictions for United yesterday. Predictions today, I've got Wolves winning and Villa winning. Oh, I tell you what, NFL last night was amazing. Oh, my team got knocked out in overtime, but oh, what a game. What a game. Hope you're well, Mark. United stand. Hope Seb's game went well. Lost 3-1, Daniel. It's a good game, but they lost. Sophie, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you very much. Thoughts on Carrick's tactics at Middlesbrough, says Highline. I haven't really watched Middlesbrough. I just read a lot of what a lot of people wrote about Middlesbrough. And, you know, I think it was sometimes a back five, a back three, this, that and the other. But he doesn't need to replicate. I said this on the preview. Like, you can't look at how Carrick played at Middlesbrough and say he's going to play like that at Man United. His coaching CV is so small. And also, he was a massive part of United under Ollie, where we played a very compact back six and countered. So I think you've also got to... I think the mistake people make is that, oh, he played like that with Middlesbrough. He's going to play like that at Man United. But I think you've also got to bring in the 2 years under Ollie, or the 2.5 years under Ollie, because he was a massive part of that. And that was very different to how he played with Middlesbrough. And he might play different here. And how he played at Middlesbrough might have been because of the players he had. So I just think, let's see what happens. Look, I completely agree. The big games for me, Arsenal, let's get that out of the way. But then the next few games where we can't really park the bus and counter are going to be really interesting. Emily says the good thing about a clear and simple basic principle is that it's easier to put in little variations to adapt to different situations, though there is the risk of it getting figured out, says Emily. Can we all agree that Mbeumo is the king, says Tarek. I'm glad he got his goal yesterday. And Mojo says, I watched the game in my office last evening. Staff thought I had gone bonkers while shouting, howling, celebrating both goals. Bought drinks for all after office. Sounds great, Mojo. Hope you're doing well. Legend. Seth says, I hate that the win will prolong the owners for the first time. I can't be 100% happy for the win. Another draw. What a win, though. We demolished them, says Seth. And I know it's scraping the bottom of the barrel, but do you think we have any chance of a last second Sabitzer type loan? Also, you look handsome today, says Mazraoui. Well, thank you very much, sir. I don't know. I think a loan deal is very, very interesting. And I think it's going to be better than nothing. I do. The only thing I would say constructive is that, and not negative, is that this is Ten Hag's midfield 2 years on. Casemiro, Mainu and Bruno is Ten Hag's midfield. Now, Ten Hag's midfield got obliterated because there was too much space. We didn't do that yesterday because we were compact and deep. When we play teams where we have to open up a bit, how much space is there going to be in that midfield? Now, we have Michael Carrick, who is a former midfielder, so hopefully he'll be able to solve that. But that's the thing that sort of in my head, this midfield is our midfield from 2 years ago, and it was getting, there was too much space in it. It didn't have the legs. So how are we going to counter that? Mark, is your NFL team the 49ers? No, they got battered. No, I like the Bills. It was a good game. Okay, thank you everybody for tuning in. 45 minute show as well. Bloody hell, it wasn't meant to be that long. That's what she said. We are back at 8 o'clock tonight, so thank you so much for tuning in. We've had nearly 1300 likes as well, which means it's been a good show, and it's obviously a good show because it's made by you. Some really good comments there. I really appreciated the look. There's nothing wrong with Carrick coming in, being pragmatic and getting us to do something that the players are comfortable with. You are playing to the player's tune. And I know people say player FC, but his job is to get results in the next 5 months. He can't go in there and go, I'm Michael Carrick. I've got an ideology that's going to take 2 years and we need to get rid of these players and bring these players in. And we're going to play this way and we're going to learn this way. He's got 5 months. He's got no budget. He's not selling people in the summer. He's not buying people now. In a way, it's a simpler job being an interim, because if you come in with 3 years, you've got to look at the squad and go, get rid of them. You've got to upset them and drop them. You've got to be saying, bring me these players in because I'm a new manager. He's got none of that. He's not going to upset people. He's not going to buy people. He's got to work with what he's got. And you've got to get results in a short period of time. So you've got to play to the way they want to play. You're a people pleaser, in a sense. And that's why so many interims do well. Because you've not got to upset people, because you haven't got to sell them. You're not going to buy anyone. You've got to work with what you've got. You've got to build team mentality and you've got to play to people's strengths. And that's the way he should do it. It's the way he should do it. But to see that as a longer term project, I think is a mistake, because the minute he gets the job long term, he has got to sell and upset people. He has got to buy people. And then the whole dynamic changes. Take care, everyone. Thank you so much for watching. Casemiro arguably played his best game. Mainu has just gotten back into the mix. We are not magically doing this every game. We need an equal quality 6 or 8 for this. And next year, why wait, says Mr. Richard. Take care. Thank you so much. And I'm back with you at 8 o'clock. Speak to you in a bit.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.